Welcome to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. This is Judy Kwong. Human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common virus that is known to cause cervical cancer in women, as well as other kinds of cancer in both men and women. Two HPV vaccines are currently licensed by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Cervarix and Gardasil. These vaccines work by preventing the most common cancer-causing types of HPV, 16 and 18, which are responsible for approximately 70% of cervical cancers. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends vaccination of all girls who are 11 or 12 years of age. However, target groups who would benefit from HPV vaccination are controversial. Today we will be talking to Dr. Herrero of the International Agency for Research on Cancer in Lyon, France. Dr. Herrero and colleagues recently published a paper in Cancer Discovery on an independent clinical trial of Cervarix evaluating vaccine efficacy in young women in Costa Rica. Welcome, Dr. Herrero.
Thank you.
What is the difference between your trial and previously published trials?
This is different to the usual clinical trial because this included an entire population in a region. Well, most trials tend to be multicentric and include a few hundred or maybe up to a few thousand women or men from many centers. The other difference from the other trials that have been published for these vaccines is that we have looked at efficacy against 1 year persistent infection with HPV, which is slightly different outcome comparing than the one that they used, which was CIN 2 or 3, cervical intraepithelial neoplasias of grade 2 or 3.
And why did you choose to look at efficacy against 1 year persistent HPV infection rather than CIN 2 or 3 as reported in the other trials?
Yeah, there are several issues in relation to the use of cervical intraepithelial neoplasia as outcome, as endpoints in the studies. One of them is that it is very common to have multiple infections. So when you have a CIN2, it is not easy to define which of the types present was the causal agent of that lesion. Say you find the CIN2 and you find three or four different types, and you cannot say, well, which is the type that was related. You may say, well, there is 16 is there, but therefore it's a failure of the vaccine because 16 is there and there is a lesion. But maybe in that lesion, that HPV16 was a recent acquisition, and the real causal agent was another type that had been there for a longer period. The other thing is that with the use of persistent infection, it's possible, I mean, you don't have that problem because you are talking about the presence of the virus at one visit and at the previous visit, a year apart, without intervening negatives. So it's very clear from the virological point of view that you had it before, it is persistent infection. So you had it before and it is still there. And the virology is very reproducible and it's very, it's automated, it's done by machines. It is not based on subjective measures or morphology. That's the other problem of the CIN, the cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, that they are subject to a lot of inter-observer variability. If you have two pathologists looking at the same slide, very often they will disagree on the diagnosis.
Target groups for HPV vaccination are still controversial. How does your analysis address this issue?
Yeah, well, our main interest was that it was to investigate the impact of the vaccine at the population level in stratified groups. That means in different subgroups of our population. For example, we split our population by age in order to be able to inform people who are making decisions on target groups for the vaccine. So what we found was that when you look at women who were not previously exposed in what we call the according to protocol analysis, the efficacy was the same. That means that if you're not exposed, it doesn't matter what age you are when you get the vaccine. But among all women, which includes a variable mixture of exposed and unexposed women, then the efficacy of the vaccine changes. Among women who were 18 to 19, the efficacy was pretty high, just almost the same as it was in the according to protocol analysis. It was around 70%. But among women who were 24 to 25, the efficacy among all women was only about 21%, indicating that in that group, there is already a large fraction of the subjects who have already been exposed and are therefore not getting the maximum benefit from the vaccine. This doesn't mean that they cannot get at some benefit in the future if they were not exposed to certain infections. But this tells us that if we vaccinate too late, we are missing the opportunity to prevent a lot of infections.
The previously reported studies did not stratify their populations in this way. Why did you choose to do so?
Our main interest as an independent study is to inform the public on how best to use, in a more cost-effective way, the limited resources, given that this vaccine is very expensive. Particularly in the beginning, when it was starting, the cost per dose was extremely high. So we really had to very carefully define the target groups to decide on where to invest.
What is the take-home message you would like to leave with our listeners?
Just the main message, what we learned from this study is first that we confirmed that the vaccine is highly effective against the vaccine types. It is also effective partially against HPV 31, 33, and 45, and that our data show that the best use of the vaccine is when we apply it to women before they start sexual activity, because once they start, they rapidly start acquiring HPV infections that are missed opportunities if you haven't vaccinated them.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Herrero, to discuss your exciting findings. To read this and other exciting papers published in Cancer Discovery, please visit cancerdiscovery.aacrjournals.org.